back to hour number two of today's edition of Truth Jihad Radio, right here at We the People Radio Network, the Primo Activist Network, and it's hopefully going to just keep on getting better and better. And speaking of getting better and better, we've got even more hard-hitting truth talk coming up here with one of my favorite, relatively new people in the 9/11 truth movement, at least new to me. Met him this past year. His name is Splitting the Sky. Splitting the Sky is a Major League Native American activist from way back. He's been causing trouble for the evil powers that be for a lot longer than I have. And he's been really taking it to the 9/11 perps during the past year. He's been giving talks in various places. There was Arizona, Pacific Northwest, and so on, some of which are now available on the web. And he's been doing some research looking into the financial powers behind the 9/11 attacks. And what he's found is, zeroing in on that New World Order of corrupt financiers who are trying to conquer the world and rule it as a big plantation with us as the slaves. Well, some of us aren't going to put up with that, and I guess Splitting the Sky is definitely one of those folks. I believe we got him on the line, so let's try it out. Are you there, Splitting the Sky?
I'm here, Kevin. Greetings.
Hey, great to have you back, huh? How are you doing?
Good to be back.
Yeah, so, boy, it sounds like you've really looked into the financial machinations behind 9/11 and found some pretty amazing things.
I sure have. I am constantly digging up and got information that is pretty much coming to a pretty big I call it a big festering boil is about ready to pop. And
right.
The only way I can look at it is to look at that dirty, filthy cabal behind the killings at 9/11 in New York.
And these are pretty much the same people who are out there, you know, using America's military forces to try to take over the world for themselves, for their power and profits. And it looks like they're starting to checkmate themselves on that grand chessboard over in Georgia and in Central Eurasia. Their schemes are not working out quite as well as they probably hoped they would.
That's true. That's very true. The Silk Road strategy is beginning to turn into rags. And they're about ready to lead us into a situation worldwide, which is a very terrible potential for what's coming. I have been saying from day one of my involvement, which was 7 years ago, having almost been a victim of 9/11, if I had stayed in one more day with my family, we could have been. Certainly, it could have been victims because we were in the Marriott Hotel, which was one of the complexes of the WTC. And again, we could have been victims of that particular inside job. And a day hasn't gone by where I haven't intently looked into what happened. And I'll also put a little footnote here, too, because at some point I'm going to have to say something about this. Did your previous guest tell you that I was selected in the beginning as a judge for the 9/11 initiative?
No, so you're one of the potential panelists?
I was listed as one of the judges for the panelists, along with Ed Ashner and everybody else. Until there was some intervention by a multimillionaire named James Walters. Do you know him?
Jimmy Walters. Yeah, sure.
Jimmy Walters. Do you know that? You know that name?
Sure. Yeah, I spoke to him.
We'll get back to that because I'm going to have to put some of his stuff, some of his laundry on public display. But we'll finish off the show with that. Excuse me? I've got to find out what Jimmy Walters' problem is.
Okay, well, maybe I could...
Because he, in an email he sent to me, he is a very arrogant, ignorant racist.
Okay, well, Jimmy, if you want to call in and work things out here with Splitting the Sky, if you're listening right now, feel free. Yeah, the call-in number here, Jimmy, and anybody else, is area code 512-646-1984. And I don't know, Jimmy, I think he's off in He's abroad now. I forget if it's Austria or he was in South Africa for a while. He got chased out of the country for pursuing 9/11 truth. But feel free to call in. But yeah, Flip the Sky. I know it's tough to, you know, the 9/11 truth movement is constantly having these kinds of issues where people step on each other's toes and stuff. And then, of course, there are the bad guys pretending to be the good guys, or at least people have to worry about that. It's a tough kind of a field to work.
Yeah, but let me just tell you briefly what it was, okay, and how I get this email. I basically really didn't even know who the guy was, all right? And, you know, for a while there, I was working so hard, driving nails. I wasn't on the Internet, and I wasn't sending out emails all around. And I had just gotten this guy's email not maybe a month or so before I actually got... But maybe 3 months before I actually got this response from him. And, you know, there was, you know how some people send, cartoons and stuff around, you know, trying to make a political point. Well, there was this cartoon it wasn't a cartoon, but it was actually an actual photograph of a political meeting somewhere where Ted Kennedy was whispering in Obama's ear. And Hillary Clinton was seen in the forefront, right? And there was a bunch of other people milling around with cocktails and cheese and wine and crackers. And so, the caption says, it's like Ted Kennedy whispering in Obama's ear. He says, if you make me vice president, I'll drive her home. This is when they were both contending for the Democratic nomination.
Okay.
Do you get the joke?
Well, the joke. It's a reference to Chappaquiddick.
It's a Chappaquiddick. Yeah, it's a reference to Chappaquiddick. And I get this email back from Jim Walters basically saying that it was to send that around is nothing but a boring, retarded child's play. Now, you just don't say that sort of thing.
Really? Yeah.
You don't say that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder, for, you know, a man that's supposed to be in a position of dealing with 9/11 and is supposed to be bankrolling a lot of stuff behind the scenes, how we could just come out and say something like that. I mean, it's a political fact that years ago, you know, there was a big cloud of suspicion on Ted Kennedy having possibly been involved in the death of his girlfriend, Mary Jo Kopechnik, in Chappaquiddick, Massachusetts.
Well, yeah, I don't know how involved he was. He drove off the bridge, and when they were, you know, he had to swim out of the car. He didn't save her, but I never heard anybody really thinking he did that intentionally. That'd be a heck of a way to try to kill somebody.
Yeah. Well, in any event, I just had to put my little rant out there. And
sure. Your people are welcome to come on the Stone Rant. This is free speech radio, folks.
Oh, yeah, that's free speech radio. And then all of a sudden, this commission, this 9/11 initiative, man, dropped my name from their list. So I put one and one together, and I come up with two. Okay, so but that does not take away from the seriousness of the necessity to have people sign that ballot to get that 30,000 in order to get on the ballot to get this investigation. But again, before I've said long, I even stated in previous conversations on this show that I wasn't concerned about really calling for an investigation. The 9/11 truth movement and the people involved by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, around that have been on that Internet, and we have gathered the information from everything I've seen, and there's still an abundance of information out there I haven't read, but from everything I've seen and what I've pulled out, the information is out there. We've already done the investigation. All we have to do now is compile the information and bring it forth and charge these people with mass murder and have them pay the penalty according to their own laws for mass murder and treason.
Well,
and that's what I am out to set out to do.
That's right. Well, we need to get them under oath, and we need to be able to compel them to testify with subpoenas. And I think once that happens, once you get a serious investigation with subpoena power that really wants the truth, it's going to fall like a row of dominoes.
Yes, and I want to be one of the people that's flicking that first domino.
There you go. Yeah, this recalls to my mind that scene from V for Vendetta at the end of V for Vendetta, the domino scene.
Oh, what a wonderful scene. And, yes, that's exactly a great analogy of what we the people in a republic with a constitution and a bill of rights and a sense of self-determination and freedom must do in the midst of a cabal known as the Federal Reserve and all those international bankers and all their military cohorts and political cohorts in the White House and in the Pentagon, they have got to be called to order. Now, I think I'm going to start. There's a couple articles that I have to, there's a couple of references I have to make. I'm going to say from the very onset right here, the last time I was on your show, I was talking about those people behind Wall Street, those people who were involved in my investigation up to that point, where it seemed that they had totally benefited from the blood that was spilled on 9/11, the 2,800 souls that died that day in short option stocks, put option stocks that were traded on Wall Street months before 9/11. Now, in sort of recapping some of our previous talks, I spoke about having found the 38 corporations that were banned by the Securities Exchange Commission from being released. I talked about from being released to the public. I talked about the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Association, the NSA, all these different agencies that were supposed to be investigating what happened behind 9/11, the criminal division of the Justice Department, who was headed at that time by Michael Chertoff, who's now the head of Homeland Security, as one of his payoffs for his involvement in 9/11, as well as a former judge by the name of Michael McCarthy, who is now the Attorney General of this country, who handled the lawsuit with Larry Silverstein, Frank Lowry, and a guy named Eisenberg. Forget his first name.
Wasn't Eisenberg the head of the Republican Republican Party's financing outfit? And he actually was also on the New York City Port Authority. He was the head of the Port Authority.
Yeah, he was the head of the New York City Port Authority that helped Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowry gain the lease.
Exactly.
Gain the lease, this man, for the Twin Towers.
And that's pretty interesting. Here we have a top Republican financier hands this thing over to another top Republican financier, Larry Silverstein, and then 6 weeks after the deal is finalized, these buildings come straight down like controlled demolitions, taking this asbestos-laden white elephant off their hands and handing Silverstein $4.5 billion in the initial settlement alone, billions more in other peripheral settlements, and now he's asking for yet another $11 billion. This could put his final total up close to $20 billion in earnings on a six-week investment in the world's biggest real estate white elephant in history, the World Trade Center complex.
Exactly. And this is what we discussed on previous shows, that they were, in fact, I read an article that basically critiqued the amount of asbestos and the prior lawsuits that were going on prior to that, which would, in effect, these two white elephants had to come down. They had to be, the asbestos had to be taken out of the buildings. And subsequently, when the asbestos was taken out of the buildings, it would have cost them over $1 billion to dismantle all the asbestos and clean it out of there. Also, there's another report that both of those buildings, the foundations that were on granite was cracking and gave them way. So they could have been a major liability in terms of them actually falling down. There was a report that there was a shifting going on in the granite underneath, and a report that came out in 1988. And so knowing this, I had said from the very beginning when I first went on the radio show in New York at the Pacifica station on a show called First Voices with Teokas and Goswar, who is a friend of mine, and I had said that if I was David Rockefeller, who, of course, as the Twin Towers were known as David Nelson Rockefeller, because they donated the land, they set up the land in order to build those towers, and they financed the building of the towers in the initial phases. And then I said that if I was David Rockefeller, and if I was a part of that so-called New World Order, if I was a part of that cabal of ultra multi-billionaires and financiers and bankers, of international status, and I wanted to get rid of my asbestos-laden problem, my two white elephants, and then I also wanted to, you know, to continue my agenda into countries internationally, in the state of depleted oils worldwide, you know, or dependency upon foreign oils, or if I wanted to expand my interest in the oil consortiums of the world, I would, in fact, create an incident where we systemically hired operatives from other countries like Israel to come into the country and to set up teams and set up explosives demolitions experts and lace that place up, ma'am, with the explosives demolitions and to blow those buildings and while making it look like it was an attack from the sky by remote control planes that was done by technology designed by SPC, Special Planning Corporations, and have those buildings come down and then justify bringing those down by, and then accusing them to be on Arab peoples and to justify a military invasion with the hype and the anger of the American people to justify an incursion into the Middle East.
Well, that sounds to be pretty much what happened. I think we're on the same page. Splitting the Sky. All right. This is Kevin Barrett I'm talking with. Splitting the Sky, a very well-known, highly respected, and very outspoken activist. We shall return in a...
News, politics, cover-ups, government corruption. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
WTPRN.
Welcome back to Chris Jihad Radio, right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. I'm on every Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time in this new time slot, which I'm really enjoying. And today I'm talking with legendary Native American activist Splitting the Sky. Splitting the Sky nearly was scapegoated for the Attica prison riot, was facing a possible death row situation there, and thank God got out of that. He's also well known for founding the Indigenous Sovereign Nations of the Western Hemisphere. He was a key figure in supporting the Native American position in the Gustavian Lake standoff, and he's been on the cutting edge of activism in many ways, shapes, and forms ever since. And right now, he's a leading spokesman for the 9/11 Truth Movement. Well, I don't know if we have any spokesman, but he's one of the most compelling voices out there, and it's great to have him. So, Splitting the Sky, we're talking about this outrageous scam that they perpetrated on 9/11, and I'm sure you noticed this Building 7 report that the National Institute of Standards and Technology just put out a couple of days ago, which says that, oh, no, the diesel fuel that they used to blame didn't have anything to do with what happened to Building 7, and the damage from the falling towers didn't have anything to do with what happened to Building 7. In fact, it was just a couple of ordinary office fires that caused Building 7 to come straight down into its own footprint at freefall speed at 5:20 in the afternoon after a countdown that people actually witnessed on police radio. I mean, how much more ridiculous can a cover-up get?
Well, I tell you, pretty soon they're going to have reports that they're basically going to tell us that a turkey is really an anteater.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
So in other words,
sure, it's an anteater.
And there will be a lot of people out there that will believe it.
That's right. And if you don't believe it, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, you're a conspiracy nut.
Yeah.
You see, but if you challenge them on it, they look, a turkey is a turkey, and an anteater is an anteater. And the turkey is not an anteater.
Demolition.
Yeah, then you're put on their terror watch.
There you go.
Because they're trying to convince the world that it was a turkey, when in reality, that a turkey is an anteater, but in reality, a turkey is a turkey. And if you stand up and say a turkey is a turkey, and then you make sure that you say, hey, you cannot change that unless you, by legal definition, are trying to change the name of that turkey to an anteater. The reality is that it's just another cover-up, and I wrote up on my email list. I said that on that NIST report, I basically put it was done by Dr. Sundar Shyam, and I said this is another doctored sham. Shyam, S-H, parentheses Y, unparentheses A-M. It's just another doctored sham is what it is by the United States government.
That's right.
Okay, so basically, because for the sake of time, there's a lot of information to cover here. I'm just recapping in our past talks that I was able to take those 38 corporations and find out that those corporations that were listed and that were banned from public release, which accidentally got released to the SEC in Canada and by way of a journalist by the name of E.L. Mulgrew from the Vancouver Sun, released the names of those corporations. I wrote them down because at that point I wasn't savvy enough, you know, to cut and paste off the Internet. So I just wrote everything down and had those papers for years. And all of those corporations like Lehman Brothers and American Airlines a whole bunch of them, just 38 corporations that were listed, it all came down. I found out that later on that those corporations were tied into and owned and controlled primarily by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And so subsequently I tied those put option stocks that were traded on these companies to these corporations, and that somebody knew that those buildings were going to go down, so in advance they did a hedge bet. And I thought to myself, you know, they waged the bet on put option stocks, and I thought to myself, well, you know, who, you know, getting to them, following the money trail, I found out through the San Francisco Citizens Inquiry or the Citizens Jury, they named two people by the name of Pete Peterson, who was the former counsel one of the presidents of the Council on Foreign Relations in 1985, I believe, as well as the head of the New York Federal Reserve, and another guy by the name of Maurice Hank Greenberg. What I found out is that these two people had high interest. Maurice Greenberg was the head of the American International Group, and he was a consortium of insurance companies, a multi-billionaire, and that he, along with Pete Peterson, was a part of a group called the Blackstone Group, which was another consortium of insurance companies that had invested, along with Larry Silverstein, $111 million for the purchase of the 99-year lease of the Twin Tower complexes. So now,
when the insurance settlement came in,
it paid off and is still paying. It will continue to pay. And that's the name of the game, get paid. And then as I was going through, I was reading about the profile by a woman from Serbia who wrote an article called The Rothschild Octopus. And in that critique, it says all of it does a big, heavy critique on George Soros being a front man, a financial point man for the Rothschilds. And so when I was studying this, I looked further at the end of the connections of the Rothschilds and the people and the players, the countries, and the Yugoslav and in Russia and all over. There was an individual that was listed there who by the name of Chenchenko. And this guy apparently owned a company called the Macedonia International Technology. And it was a phone company, the Macedonian phone company, Macedonia Telus. But in any event, when it looked down, this guy owed a lot of shares along with George Soros, major shareholders in the Blackstone Corporation. And so I thought to myself, well, geez. Immediately when I read that, I put Soros with the Blackstone Group that was behind getting paid from that helped finance paying for the new Twin Towers. And then I did a profile on George Soros, and I started looking into him very deeply. And I'm going to read a little piece here. Soros left England in 1956 and found work on Wall Street, where in the 1960s he invented the hedge fund. Hedge funds catered
to very wealthy individuals. The largely secretive funds usually traded in offshore locations produce astronomically superior results. The size of the bets often become self-fulfilling prophecies. Rumors of a position taken by the big hedge funds prompted other investors to follow suit, which would in turn force up the price the hedgers were betting on to begin with. Soros organized the Quantum Fund in 1969 and began to dabble in currency manipulation. In the 1970s, his financial activities turned to alternating long and short positions. Soros won big both on the rise of real estate investment trusts and on their subsequent collapse. Under his 20-year stewardship, Quantum returned to an amazing 34.5% a year. Soros is best known and feared for currency speculation. In 1997, he earned the rare distinction of being singled out as a villain by the head of state, Malaysia, Mahathir Mohamad, for taking part in a highly profitable attack on that nation's currency. Through such clandestine financial scheming, Soros became a multi-billionaire. I hear your little music going off in the background, so we'll get back to you when we come back.
Okay, sounds good. Kevin Barrett is splitting the sky, talking about the financial powers behind 9/11 and related topics. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is Group Jihad Radio right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett, and this hour I'm talking with Splitting the Sky. He's a Native American activist with a long list of amazing accomplishments and adventures, and he's telling us now about George Soros, who he is suggesting may be connected to this Rockefeller-Rothschild financial ring that seems to be related to certain aspects of the 9/11 attacks. And, we do have a caller. We'll bring the caller up in a bit, but you can go ahead and finish that piece on Soros.
Okay, actually, I'm going to drop that piece. I'm going to tell you that many of the people, every contender that is running for this election, both Republican and Democrat, are all financed by the same corporations. At least 10 of the corporations that benefited from put option stocks, these same corporations that were traded and benefited by Soros and the like behind the scenes, making multi-billion dollars, they are every contender for the presidential election. In an article listed by Larry Chin, shows that all those same corporations are financing these campaigns. Now, there was another guy.
I'm talking
about the major Republican and the Democratic parties.
Right, right. So, hey, you know, we do have a caller, so let's go ahead and bring him on. I think I heard it was Wayne from Florida. Is that right? Hello?
Yeah, this is Wayne. Normally from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. No, presently in Florida, stormy Florida.
Oh yeah, that Wayne. Hey, how's it going?
That's me. How you doing today?
And my newly found great friend.
All right.
Yeah, Kevin. Splitting this guy and I hooked up after you brought him on there a few months ago, back in March, I guess it was, and we had him out to speak at an event for us at the Peace Arch border crossing on the 4th of July weekend, where he did an outstanding job. And we've put up a website for him now, too. I hadn't heard you mention it, so I thought I'd get it out on the air for you. It's www.splittingthesky.net, where you can see a lot of his present research that he's working on, a lot of the articles he's quoting, and some previous video footage, and some really nice audio portions as well from some poems that he's done.
Well, excellent. Good work there, Wayne. All of this has happened since I last saw you out there at the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Event.
Thank you very much, my brother. I appreciate that. Thanks for getting that in, because now I'm going to just go swooping. I'm going to swoop down, man, and bring another co-conspirator in with Mr. Storrs.
All right, you go, my friend. All right.
Okay, my brother, thanks.
Yeah, good to hear.
Hey, listen, so there's a guy by the name of Jacob Kobe Alexander, and there was an article written by Christopher Bolin. Now, you know, no matter what people may think of Mr. Bolin, I think he's got some good stuff out there. And he talks about that in the article. It's called Why Was Kobe Alexander Allowed to Flee August 24th, 2006? And apparently this guy was one of about 200 people that were Israeli Mossad operatives and military intelligence that had been questioned about their possible involvement in 9/11. And this Alexander, it says here, while Alexander is obvious military intelligence apparatus, and George Soros through the mutually owned investment from Comsor, what is not widely reported, close links with Odigo, the Israeli-run instant messaging company that received and conveyed urgent warning messages about the imminent terror attacks on World Trade Center several hours before the first plane hit. Now, in this article, it also says that this guy was basically being investigated for millions of dollars in phony put option stock, trading short bets and long bets. And he was wanted in Brooklyn, and he was a fugitive from the Brooklyn law. But shortly after 9/11, it says here, shortly after 9/11, Odigo was completely taken over by Converse Technology, which, by the way, is George Soros' company. And this guy, Jacob Alexander, was one of the CEOs for this company, and which has been part of Odigo since 2000, if not earlier. Shortly after 9/11, five executives from Converse were reported to have profited more than $267 million from insider trading. Avon Roner, the founder of Odigo, was vice president of business development of Converse Technology in 2005. This indicates that Ronan and Alexander, both Israeli military officers with computer backgrounds, have been close partners since early 2000. Converse and Odigo have had a long-standing partnership together and have developed instant communication products and services that we have recently begun to offer to operators around the world. This is by Zev Bergman, CEO of the Israeli-based Converse LTD, told the Jerusalem Post in May 2002. So what you got here, you got five unnamed people making $267 million of put option stocks that were traded on Wall Street prior to 9/11 on those corporations that were bound to fail, that were inside the Twin Towers. They flee to Israel. This guy, Kobe Alexander, flees to Israel. Israel says they won't send him back for prosecution. What's up with that? George Soros and him were partners. If it smells like a rat, walks like a rat, it must be a rat.
Okay, well, that's another interesting set of connections to add to what you told me last time you were on the show. We do have another caller, I think. It's Richard from Texas. Hello, Richard. You still there?
Hi, Kevin. Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can. You're coming in loud and clear. What can I do for you?
Great. Well, a couple of things. One, off topic just for a second, you may well know about this, but I believe it was on rumormillnews.com yesterday. I watched an excellent YouTube thing with Sean Hannity and his interview of you on Fox News and the use of neuro-linguistic programming techniques. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I sure have. I actually had a little email dialogue with the guy who did that. I think
it's very well done,
very informative. Yeah, real interesting.
Anyway, back on to the World Trade Center situation and AIG for a second, if I could. I know about Maurice Greenberg and the Greenberg family very well. I was involved in the insurance business for many years and doing that large commercial and oil and gas stuff. My father was interviewed by Hank Greenberg to set up AIG oil rig years ago, and he refused to take that offer because Greenberg told him that if he called him on Christmas Day, he didn't care. He was going to get his butt up to New York whether he liked it or not, and he didn't like that attitude. But in any case, you know, AIG was a it in the insurance on the World Trade Centers, but I did not know they had the ownership capacity to the Blackstone Group. AIG, I believe, reinsured out either all or large chunks of their participation along with other insurance companies at the World Trade Center. And so they probably collected most, if not all, of their losses through a, you know, backdoor arrangement. But the thing that happened following the World Trade Center losses was that the property insurance rates around the country just absolutely skyrocketed. In addition to that, they put new restrictions of coverage in place and set up a federal funded pool for terrorism insurance that collected huge amounts of money that I don't know what pockets those went into, but as far as I know, that's still something that you're required to buy if you want that cover as a separate addendum on property insurance policies. And, you know, Greenberg resigned in disgrace. He took all his billions of share money, put them in his wife's name to protect any attacks against that. His son Jeff was head of Marsh, which is the biggest insurance broker in the world, and he resigned, I believe, in disgrace as well. And, you know, there's just a lot attached to that old head of the CFR, and I thank you very much for expanding on the AIG profile in this thing.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate that. And by the way, Jeffrey Greenberg also owns 7% of Blackstone, so that implicitly puts him in on the put option stock gambles there.
Amazing. Okay.
It is amazing.
I've got to run. Thank you very much. I'll be listening.
All right. Take care.
Now, if I can, Kevin, because of the amount of time, right, my friend Wayne that has sent me an article here this morning, and I think that just coming to this, I like to do a little dramatic ending here for this show here. And I'm going to read a little a news report that came out from Pravda today. And all I want to say is, again, we're scratching the surface. There is a ton more information that I wasn't able to put out today, which I'm calling surrounding 9/11, and I'm calling it nothing but an extension of what was once termed the Operation Susanna, and very similar to the false flag operation and the killing of those that died on the USS Liberty. You know, we've got to flush everybody out of the car bowels, out of their hiding spots.
Native American rights activist from way back, who is now working real hard at the 9/11 truth case, possibly the most important case before us right now. And we're going to have more of this kind of fresh 9/11 news with Aidan Monahan tomorrow, same time, same channel on this show, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time. Aidan Monahan is a cutting-edge 9/11 researcher, and he'll be talking about his Freedom of Information Act requests that have just gotten some pretty ridiculous answers from the government. So, quoting the sky, you were saying that there's a new article out called Impeachment is Not Enough.
And it's done by Gregory Fiegel, and I'm going to rant right through for you with it. Indict all the U.S. officials and their allies who planned and carried out the 9/11 attack. A preponderance of evidence shows that the highest officials of the Bush administration, in collusion with many other officials from the Pentagon, CIA, FBI, FEMA, NSA, NORAD, New York City officials, air traffic controllers, airline executives, controlled demolition experts, computer graphics technicians, media executives, and others together planned and committed the horrible attacks of 9/11-2001 against the Pentagon and the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. The 9/11 attacks were immediately blamed on the bogus Arab hijackers, a half dozen of whom were later confirmed to still be alive and therefore innocent after 9/11 attacks. the false flag 9/11 attacks provided the excuse for the U.S. government's war on terrorism, the chief purpose of which was the U.S. to gain control of the lucrative oil fields of the Middle East. Its secondary purpose is to increase the taxation of U.S. citizens for defense spending in support of the USA's enormous military-industrial complex. And a tertiary purpose is to establish justification in the enactment of the police state measures within the USA under the vast, far-reaching and politically ambitious umbrella of Homeland Security. When the rights of freedom of speech and assembly are curtailed for the citizens of the USA, the U.S. government will be able to pursue its agenda of world domination without the domestic distraction of dissident opinions, protests, and demonstrations. The Pentagon, CIA, FBI, and other agencies and officials of the U.S. government have perpetuated many crimes, assassinations, and false flag bombings, and attacks against U.S. citizens and U.S. interests during the past 50 years, including but not by no means limited to the state political assassinations of John F. Kennedy, to Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and the 1988 Berlin Disco bombings, the 1993 World Trade Center bombings, the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, and the anthrax threat letter attacks of October 2001. The U.S. government and its allies also committed the Bali bombings of 2002 and 2005, the Madrid train bombings of 2004, and the London 7/7 2005 bombings, and the recent Spata bombings in Ahmedabad, Jaipur, Bangalore, and the Indian Embassy in Kabul during the summer of 2008. Next page. Now, hold on a second. Next page here.
Okay. Now, wait, where is this published?
This is in Pravda. Today's Pravda.
Pravda. All right.
Yes.
Pravda.
All right. Okay. Since the end of World War II, fanatic right-wing ideologues with corporate connections have gradually gained complete control of the U.S. military, the U.S. intelligence agencies, the United States government, and the USA's mainstream media. Fascism in the USA is not merely a current threat posed by the Republican administration of George W. Bush. It is an already accomplished situation that has been many decades in the making, and fascism in the USA is actually a done deal. The U.S. long descent into fascism cannot be halted or stopped merely by electing a member of the Democratic Party or to the presidency, or by electing a Democratic majority to Congress. The infiltration in the Congress of the U.S. government by right-wing extremists is far too advanced and complete. They manipulate our elected officials like puppets on a string, and a great many of our elected officials are themselves part of this fascist establishment. The right-wing takeover of the U.S. government has been gradual and very successful with fascist coup that will not be reversed without a very serious and deadly struggle. Given the history of extreme and indiscriminate violence shown by the ruling junta of the USA, it appears quite obvious to me that restoring democracy to the U.S. would inevitably require a violent armed revolution in which the American people are opposed against the forces of the U.S. government and the U.S. military. As a U.S. citizen and a human being, I personally consider the killing of innocent people in foreign countries by the CIA, the U.S. military, and other puppets in support of the economic interests of multinational U.S.-based corporations to be totally immoral and intolerable. And I consider it my solemn duty to oppose the U.S. aggression and imperialism in any way that I can. U.S. and mass media propagate a climate in which the actions and activities of the U.S. troops ahead are regarded as beyond reproach, but there is nothing noble or heroic about unprovoked military aggression and genocide against vulnerable and innocent foreign populations. George W. Bush, George H. Bush, Jeb Neal, and Marvin Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Karl Rove, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Powell, Armitage, Ashcroft, Abrams, Edelman, Thief, Fife, Bolton, Libby, Kissinger, Mueller, Tenet, Gross, Giuliani, Hayden, Chertoff, Baker, and many hundreds of other individuals working for the White House, CIA, FBI, FEMA, the Pentagon, NSA, NORAD, the airline industry, and the U.S. news media together planned and executed the 9/11 attacks. All of the above names and accomplices need to be tried for treason and mass murder with the death penalty as the just and very necessary reward for the conviction of those crimes. The very last page, last paragraph. We need a Nuremberg-style trial for treason and mass murder for all the members of the U.S. government, the U.S. military, the U.S. intelligence agencies, and their civilian accomplices in the airline industry and the news media who participated in the murderous crimes of 9/11. The death penalty should be applied to all of the principals and their accomplices, even if that means executing several hundred or even several thousand people because of crimes of this magnitude against the American people in the United States, the U.S. Republic, and not go unpunished. And the punishments must be extreme to send a message that the American people will not tolerate such treason by now or in the future. If allowed to remain unpunished and at liberty, these individuals present a great threat to the safety and security of all Americans. If convicted of the heinous crimes of 9/11, the death penalty is the only way to ensure that they and their allies will not somehow manage to attack America and Americans again. The executions to be performed in public and internationally televised for the entire world to witness. I do realize that there are some very worthy reasons to oppose capital punishments in many situations. However, it is also quite apparent to me that any show of clemency that might be given to the U.S. government perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks leaves open the possibilities that they and their sympathizers could revive the subversion of American democracy and the violence towards peace-loving Americans. That is why I advocate a policy of capital punishment without any consideration of mercy, plea bargaining, or probation for the U.S. government perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks and their allies. No one in or out of the U.S. government should be exempt from prosecution and capital punishment for the treasonous attacks on 9/11. The planners and participants in the 9/11 attacks within the U.S. government and their accomplices must not be allowed to protect themselves behind the specious excuse of national security. The true security and survival of our republic depends on entirely on this. George F. Siegel, speak your mind on Pravda RU Forum.
Okay, well, Pravda means truth in Russian. Okay, I think we have a caller. I didn't quite get the name. Do we have a caller? Hello? Hello, caller. Who is it? Mike from Maryland? Hello, Mike? Oh, Karen. Karen from Maryland. Hello, Karen. You're on the air. Hello, Karen? Come in. Come in, Karen from Maryland. Going once. Going twice. Okay, well, Karen, you can keep trying, but I don't think we have you up right now.
Hey.
So, yes, please. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, hi, hey. Karen. How are you?
We
can hear you now.
Spirit? Okay, very good. Okay, that's what I get for speaking up, huh? Okay.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt the theme of your discussion, but there's no reason for me to put this in the privacy of an email when I can ask you on the air. How do you tell what sounds do you hear when your phone conversations are being tapped? Do you know the answer to that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Fair enough.
Lots of clicking and heavy echoes, just like I got going on right now.
Clicking and echoes.
I CSIS and the FBI even had thousands of pages of recorded conversations with me all the years that I've been involved in this movement. And you know what? Hey. You know what? That's why they call them intelligence gatherers, because they're about a bunch of knuckleheads, man. They ain't got no knowledge. They need to gather intelligence. So just keep telling the truth, sister. Keep telling the truth.
Okay. Yeah. If they're listening to you, they might learn something, right?
Hey, absolutely, yeah, because, well, who knows, they may become educated, and who knows, even those even government officials that are listening right now, that are part of FEMA's man vamping troops, they may be listening to this and saying, oh, my goodness, wait a minute, I didn't know all this information. There's a lot of people that can be converted by the truth. I believe that. That's why I'm involved in this 9/11 truth movement. And,
I think we're hearing music now, guys.
Yep.
Karen, it's been a great conversation. Karen, feel free to call on back into any of my other shows, including tomorrow's with Kate Monahan, and hopefully they'll be tapping and listening and learning something.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
a special note to Jimmy, next time you want to call somebody retard, say it to my face.
Okay, that's from Clinton Shy to Jimmy, and I'm just a referee here, I guess. Keep it above the waist, folks. All right, well, Clinton the Sky, it's been great as always. I really appreciate your eloquence and your spirit, man. Keep it up.
All right, brother, let's move on.
All right, take care. That was Clinton the Sky. He's on the web at clintonthesky.net. This is Kevin Barrett at barrettforcongress.us. We'll be back tomorrow.